Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Well, our Issues Etc. comment line is always open for your calls. You can criticize, you can suggest, you can question. I know a lot of our on-demand listeners, that's the majority of our listeners, listen weeks or months behind, and then they have a question or they have a comment or a suggestion, and they think, well, it's too late. It is never too late. That's why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384, for that very reason. You hear something you disagree with, you hear something, we didn't finish a sentence, you, whatever it is, make a suggestion. Call the comment line, and we do our best to respond to every single comment made on the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Let's begin with a comment about the Issues Etc. trademark dispute and the threat of legal action against Jeff and me from the LCMS Board of Directors.
I listened to the on-demand thing about what the LCMS is, the fact that they're suing you, and also that they're going to try to, they want to get the Issues Etc. name, whatever. You know, the thing I think is, I thought Christians weren't supposed to sue each other. And I just find that interesting that they're going to sue you, or they want to sue you, considering, like I said, Christians are supposed to sue each other. I think that's kind of unbiblical. So that's my comments. Okay, bye.
All right, a couple things to respond to there, and thank you very much for that comment. First of all, if someone's told you that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Board of Directors is suing us, that's not true. What has happened is, through their attorneys, they have threatened to take some kind of legal action against us. That threat still stands. It hasn't been withdrawn in writing. There have been some other events. I'll get to that in just a moment. But the threat to take some kind of legal action against us has not been officially withdrawn, and it's been in place since December 16th when the letter landed on the desk of our attorney threatening this legal action. So no one has sued anybody, but a threat has been made to take some kind of legal action. Now, the commenter asks about whether or not it's sinful for Christians to sue one another. Well, the answer to that question is sometimes yes and sometimes no. Paul chides the Corinthians for taking things to court that should not be brought before the courts. And in this case, disputes between fellow Christians that should be solved through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But that is not Paul saying that the courts are forever closed to Christians under all circumstances. In fact, the guest that we just had on, Craig Pardon, is an attorney. He makes his living in the courtroom, and he makes his living often with Christians as clients. And he has said many times that when it comes to matters that are that are the proper purview, that is, in matters of civil law, criminal law, those kind of things, when they are the proper purview of God's appointed authorities in government and in the courts, Christians have every right, and in fact, in some cases, an obligation to employ the courts and the whole system there. If you are accused of a crime, think about it for a moment. If you're accused of a crime that you did not commit, you would want to have recourse to a just court, wouldn't you? Of course you would. So Paul does not mean to bar Christians from the courtroom or even from civil suits or other kind of legal action. But what he means to do is say, when it can be solved through repentance and the forgiveness of sins, brother to brother, come on. Why are you going to the courts? He calls it shameful. Now, I do need to say that the latest on the whole issue with the issues, et cetera, trademark and the opposition to that, on Thursday, February the 19th, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod's Board of Directors, this was just last week, Thursday, passed a resolution withdrawing its previous opposition to the issues, et cetera, trademark application. They also passed another resolution requesting that we, Jeff and me, meet with three members of the LCMS Board of Directors without attorneys. They didn't request without attorneys, but the meeting doesn't involve attorneys, which is something we were always concerned about. We're thankful for these two resolutions. Now, Jeff and I still have several unresolved issues and a lot of unanswered questions. And Jeff and I hope that these meetings will answer those questions and help get to the bottom of this. Next, a comment from a listener in the wild, wild west.
Hi, I am a Lutheran pastor serving in Montana, and I just wanted to let you know that I very much appreciate your audio downloads as I drive around the large state of Montana. I have some quality radio programming to listen to that is centered on Christ. Thank you. God bless.
Well, thank you very much. This is, as I said before, our on-demand listeners are so beloved to us because it is the majority of our audience. We like all our listeners, live listeners, radio listeners, whatever it may be. Our on-demand listeners are so beloved to us. And this is how I often, as I go about to hear people who listen to the show, they'll tell me all the different places that they manage to listen to the show. By the way, this is the future, I'm convinced, of terrestrial radio isn't dead, but this is the future of how we're going to communicate with one another that used to be only the radio or the television on demand. Listen to what you want, when you want. It's the future. From the West Coast to the East Coast, here's a comment from a listener in Vermont about a popular term for dying.
And I enjoyed the piece on the death of Martin Luther. However, I wonder if he might have been a bit perturbed when you used the term passed away or passing on. Wasn't that a term that Mary Baker Eddy brought into our language? Otherwise, good segment, thanks.
I'm not aware of Mary Baker Eddy's influence there. You know, it's a term of, it's a euphemism, isn't it? Passing on. Now, what does the Bible say when it talks about death? It uses the stark language like died, and then it uses some euphemisms that may have some theological underpinnings, like he was gathered to his fathers. That's the Old Testament term, very early Old Testament. You'll find these significant figures of faith history being gathered to their fathers. So it finds a number of ways of saying it. Jesus' preferred way of talking about death is to fall asleep, which the apostles then pick up and use as well, to fall asleep. Now, that's not a euphemism in that case, or a circumlocution to get around saying someone died. Falling asleep is actually a theological assertion. That is, now that Christ has conquered death by his death, for those who are in Christ, death is as temporary as sleep. It is not soul sleep, but it is, in fact, as temporary sleep, and Christ can wake the dead by his word, and he will. So it's altogether accurate to say they fell asleep in Jesus. As for passing away, I guess Christians can either take it or leave it. It doesn't really say much, does it? Although we use it when we're trying to sound polite about the ugly, ugly reality of death. Here's a comment about the secularization of Lutheran colleges and universities.
Oh, Jeff and Todd, it's Wally Vidovskis calling from Concordia Lutheran Church out in Macungie, Pennsylvania. I just listened to your open mic on the secularization of KFUO FM Classic 99, and I agree with a lot of things that you said, and as I was listening, particularly as you got toward the end of the program, I just couldn't help but substitute the Concordia Universities for KFUO FM Classic 99. While many of our concordias are fine Christian schools that have a Christian mission statement and still very much a goal of raising up Christian teachers and servants for the church. A fair number of our Concordia universities or Concordia colleges have very little Christian to do about them. They have very little, prepare very few church workers, very few teachers, very few seminary or pre-sem students, and they're basically becoming private liberal arts colleges owned and operated by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That may be a topic you want to pick up on a future open mic or some future programs. That's my comment. Thanks. Bye.
All right, Wally, thank you very much for that comment as well. By the way, did you know that Wally Vanofskis trained me during my seminary days to run a board, yes, to do Craig's job, to run a board at KFUO way back, when was this? Probably would have been 1986, 1987, somewhere in that. And he trained me by showing me how to do it and then putting me in front of the board and leaving. Terrifying, terrifying experience, but very good training, by the way. You know what secularizes institutions in the church? Whether it be church bodies, national denominations, individual congregations, or schools or colleges, when the emphasis is taken from the confession of the faith, the bold confession of the faith, as drawn from Holy Scripture and put on the church's image and the bottom line, when the focus becomes public image and money, then any institution in the church becomes secularized. It happens to radio stations, colleges, and denominations. And it happens as we speak. When we come back, more listener comment line. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. But due to the heavy volume, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Brian Westgate, Pastor Alan Benke, Kim Ansley, Dean Duncan, Sherry Toll, Pastor Eugene Esch, Elizabeth Peterson, Pastor Merle Mankin, and Paul Lelanis. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. The number, by the way, 618-223-8384. It's open 24/7 for your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your criticism. 618-223-8384. In the second hour of the program, coming up here in about 10 minutes, Dr. Stephen Hine will join us to begin a daily series on the cross of Christ. Today, the New Testament on the cross of Christ. What was happening there? Was God just demonstrating something at the cross, or did something actually occur? Dr. Stephen Hine of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, and then Dr. Thomas von Hagel will join us from Concordia University, Chicago, to talk about second century martyr and Bishop of Smyrna, St. Polycarp. Next from the comment line, more feedback from one of our listeners.
Hi, Todd and Jeff. This is Susan in Tupelo, and I just wanted to take a moment to thank you and Jeff for your excellent work on the program. I really enjoy it. I listen to it mostly on demand. I thank you so much for the seriousness with which you present the gospel to us. But I also want to thank you so much for your honesty in this latest debacle, but mostly for your graciousness. You are so gracious under fire, and you make a great example to the rest of us for how to be gracious, how to be honest, but not to try to rouse the rabble, but to awaken people to the truth. You're standing not just for principle, but you stand on and for absolute truth, and that you do it graciously and in an entirely Christian manner. I thank you very much. God be with you.
And thank you very much. Very kind words, by the way. Honesty is, look, what good does it do to stretch the truth? Sooner or later, someone's going to find out. What good does it do to say something that isn't entirely true? Sooner or later, it will come to light. If not now, then on the last day. And it's simply all we've endeavored to do is be honest with those that we've been dealing with on the other side of this dispute. Completely above board and honest, and all we've endeavored to do is be honest with our listeners, as is appropriate, in each and every case. It really is true. Honesty is the best policy. It's also the right thing to do. Now, I will say, there are some out there who do not believe that we're being honest. They think we're either making it up, stretching the truth, or lying. But we're simply trying to make an honest case and an honest laying forth of the facts here. Here's a listener with some thoughts about universalism and the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, I just had a comment following Dr. Hitchcock's presentation, Roman Catholic doctor and historian. Just a thought to come to mind for the sake of the folks there at the studio in terms of a conundrum of, shall we say, doctrinal logic. Is it meaningful for the Pope to excommunicate someone from the Roman Catholic Church, given that the current Roman Catholic Catechism says that non-believing Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and others, if they're just, can go to heaven? Just kind of a curious conundrum there. In today's picture of as doctrine is so handled in the world today. We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Well, it's a really good question. Okay, first of all, the Roman Catholic Catechism does support a view that is, in some sense, quasi-universalistic. It's called anonymous Christianity, although I don't think they use that term in the Catechism, but essentially says that Christ's atoning work is so pervasive that one need not even know about Jesus explicitly in order to be saved. You just have to be, say, a Muslim of goodwill or a Buddhist of goodwill, and you can fall under that. Well, if you're of goodwill, then you too also can inherit eternal life. And it really just lays salvation entirely at the doorstep of the individual and his good works. But it's consistent with the Roman Catholic view of justification, I should say. Consistent but wrong. He asks whether or not it makes any sense for the Pope to excommunicate someone with this view being taught in the Catholic Catechism. And the answer is it still makes sense from the Roman Catholic perspective because it's kind of like a Mormon. Mormons believe that everyone will end up in heaven as long as they weren't a Mormon and then stopped being a Mormon. Once they stop being a Mormon, then you get to go to the prison house. But if you are a person of goodwill and never explicitly reject Mormonism, then you enjoy some kind of a heavenly life after death. You may never ascend to be a god, but you do enjoy some kind of heavenly life, according to Mormonism. And there's a rough similarity here with the Roman Church's teaching that, you know, if you're a Muslim of goodwill, you could end up in heaven. But if you're a Roman Catholic who's excommunicated, you won't. Because excommunication is of a different caliber than simply someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. How mixed up is that? Very, very mixed up, indeed. Next, a listener with some feedback on a bit of a show suggestion.
Hi, my name is Chuck Weiss, and I live in Middleville, Michigan. I really love your show, and I really appreciated the segment you did on contraception. Your guests mentioned the fact that the birth control pill does, in fact, function as an abortifacient. And I think many people are unaware of this and may even be unaware as to what the term abortifacient means. I think a segment on what the birth control pill does, or at least can potentially do, would be very helpful. Also, on an unrelated note, I've been listening to some of the Concordia Seminary classes offered on iTunes. One of your regular guests, Dr. Brighton, has a very interesting class on Revelation there. During one of the classes, he mentioned an actual exorcism that happened in the St. Louis area that was the basis for the movie The Exorcism. And I've seen a couple of different books out on the market on this exorcism, and I think it would be very interesting to know exactly what happened. Dr. Brighton also said that he believed that rising murder rates were the result of an increase in demon possession, and that there were certain people in a Toronto mental health facility that he believed to be demon-possessed. I think a segment on the differences between mental illness and demon possession would also be very helpful. On the one hand, I think in our modern world we tend to live our lives most of the time as if angels and demons didn't exist. But on the other hand, there are those who seem to find the devil everywhere. Anyhow, I love your show, and I hope your trademark dispute ends soon. Bye.
Thank you very much. Great suggestions, by the way. Jeff, I'm sure, has dutifully written them all down. I want to deal with two things that he mentioned. One is, it is true to use the term like abortifacient. It assumes a lot that people understand what it means. It's a simple term that just means it's something that causes, it's an adjective, causes an abortion. Causes an abortion. Can the birth control pill, can it, under certain circumstances, have an abortifacient effect? And the answer is mostly people saying yes, it can. Does it mean it does? Does it cause an abortion? Not necessarily, but it can. Not being a medical doctor, that's the extent of my knowledge. But people do need to know what that term means. The other thing I wanted to address in his comment was, I think Dr. Brighton is right. We underestimate in our society. Our society is not characterized by overestimating the activity of the demonic world, but in fact grossly underestimating the activity of the demonic world, even denying it, even Christians, for all practical purposes. I don't mean explicitly denying it, but implicitly denying the activity of the demonic world. And they're up to an awful lot more than I think we realize. Does that mean that we need to go around and exorcise someone if they get the common cold? No. If an aspirin works, an aspirin works. But we need to recognize that the devil is often in and around all of those things. But what is our way of dealing with the devil? Do we go toe-to-toe with him and confront him? You know, the Bible says that's not a good idea. Not because the devil isn't a defeated enemy, but because someone already has gone toe-to-toe with the devil and defeated him in his death, Jesus Christ. You got a problem with the devil, run to Jesus. Don't stand out on the front porch yelling at the devil, trying to pick a fight with him. It's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You got a problem with the devil, go to the one, like you would if there was a bully in the neighborhood when you were a little kid. What did you do? You called your big brother. Your big brother who'd already whipped the bully. You call him, and he comes. And you can stand behind Jesus all day long, and the devil can do whatever he wants to. As long as Jesus is between you and the devil, you have nothing whatsoever to worry about. Folks, as you pay the bills at the end of the month, consider making a tax-deductible gift to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can donate online, our website address, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thank you in advance for all of your support. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. Dr. Stephen Hine is going to join us for about 40 minutes or so, beginning a daily series on the cross of Christ. Today, the New Testament on the cross of Christ. We'll be talking a lot about vicarious atonement. If that's an unfamiliar term, we'll explain it as quickly as we can in hour two of the program. And then we'll spend the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. today, this Monday, February the 23rd, talking about 2nd century martyr and bishop of Smyrna, St. Polycarp. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 7 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.